Hi there, Stanya Davis here. That's right. I am she and she is me, and we are back on a Saturday afternoon once again. Now, listen, last week we talked about questions, or we answered some questions that women really wanted the answers to. And I don't think we kind of covered the questions, or we didn't get to the bottom. I didn't ask or put forward the questions that the women had asked me. And listen, I have to represent for the woman's them too. So I decided to, do a part two of the show. So we're going to jump in today. I have my good, decent, I got to call him co-host, man. You listen, Damalis, you're now the official co-host of Tell It to Stanya.
I appreciate that title. I appreciate that title. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
And I always crack this joke, but he does wear so many hats because don't you also have a degree? What's your degree in? Which one of them 10 degrees would you have?
Counseling psychology.
Exactly. Yeah. So I figure you're male. So, you would be good to assist me here and continue your co-hosting job on Tell It to Stanya that is unpaid.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, so I have about 5 questions. Hopefully we could get through it and maybe even take on a few more questions. Although I have to tell you, Mrs. Smith, I don't give a 5 cents about these questions no more, because let me tell you now, I'm on the soapbox now. You ready?
I hope so.
Okay. I decided this week. This week, I decided that, something, I don't think that this whole relationship thing is really for me. Like, when I think about, getting married and all this stuff, like, do I really, really want this? And honestly, the first thing that came to mind was no. And it actually startled me, too. So I give 5 cents for these questions. Although, Mr. Smith, another good, decent male friend of mine told me every time I say that, when he look again, I just get pregnant. Hi, Reverend Roderick Roll. I just saying. Anyhow, you ready, Mrs. Smith?
As ready as I can be.
You ain't got nothing to say about that.
You notice I purposely and intentionally did not comment on that.
Anyways, moving right along. Let's just jump right into it. Now, asking these questions. Now, what I do like, and I say this on the show all the time, I love conversing with men. I ain't gonna lie, now that I love talking with man's them. That's enough for me. Hello. Okay. So now, in asking the men these questions, I found out some interesting things, and it was, I don't know, I'm gonna share the insights, their responses, but definitely some of the insights that I would have gleaned from their responses. So the first question that women wanted to know. Now, we did touch this last week, and when we touched it, Ian Mora talked about the historical basis for why men cheat and how we're programmed and all this stuff. But the first question, I pretty much just said it, why are our men cheating? What's your take on it?
Well, okay, we single out men in this instance because we're talking specifically to the male of the species.
Yeah, however,
individuals on the whole, they cheat for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. and men are no different. So when we look at the male of the species, they engage in infidelity for a variety of reasons. Some of these are them being self-satisfying. They express a self-satisfying attitude. We are by our very nature as human beings, not as males or females, but as human beings collectively, we mm-hmm. are selfish creatures. We are programmed to look for what is advantageous to us, and we gravitate towards that, and we shun that which we feel is less advantageous to us.
Okay. So now let me share some of the responses that the men said. They said, some said that they cheat, or men cheat, because blame and man don't cheat. Tahai, that's another one. That because men need sex. They said that a lack of respect. Now, this one came up a lot, where they said that they felt as though when they are being disrespected in the home, whether or not it's rejection, And the disrespect too kind of turns them off from sleeping with their mate. Like, I get really frightened, and I'm not even say frightened, but whenever I hear a couple is not having sex, that's like a major red flag, outside of it being a health issue, of course. Right. I get very concerned. So, and something else, you know, having a conversation with males, or one in particular that comes to mind, like the things that I heard women say to men, oh my God, like terrible, very disrespectful, extremely disrespectful. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, I think that is a valid point that you brought up. I think that individuals, we don't play well, for lack of a better phraseology. We don't know how to resolve our conflicts, but still be respectful of one another. And so when we have a conflict, we allow that conflict to magnify to the point where we go below the belt and say some things that are really damaging to the other individual. They're hurtful and they're damaging. Both males and females do this. And some of these words, they wound greater than if you use a stick or a rock. And it's not as easy to heal from those wounds of those words.
Well, you know, of course, both sexes, you know, is doing this, guilty, but we're focusing on the men and the women and the questions that the women really wanted. So I have to say this too. Like, in preparing for the show, I heard some things like where women actually went to their ex-lovers and said demeaning things about their current partner. And I mean, and then the ex-person, you know, verbalized this. Like, I mean, like, oh my God, like, you know, it was terrible. But so how should, anyway, you know what, we could get there. Let me finish this. Okay. So I also heard that men cheat because, right, they are unhappy. They are unsatisfied. I heard that men cheat because they're immature, undisciplined, that they didn't have a positive male role model to show them how to be. I heard that lack of communication, as you said, and opportunity. And one guy said that, listen, we cheat because we can. Hello?
Well, in this world, in this culture of social media, we have more access to each other. And so it is oftentimes easy to engage members of the opposite sex by social media. Right. And firstly, there's a transition of it, you know, there's a progression of it, correction.
What you mean?
Persons move from emotional infidelity to the physical infidelity, because emotional infidelity occurs when you can access someone by social media, when you're sexting. And sexting is, you know, they send in the nude pics and they talk in lewd language and so forth. Anything that you do on social media or any social platform with a person of the opposite sex that you know you cannot tell your partner about, that is, you know, that is something that you...
Mrs. Smith, you think...
That's emotional. That's emotional cheating, because you're engaging that person on a level of a significant other, and you, for all intents and purposes, would never tell your significant other that you're engaging someone else of the opposite sex to that degree.
So, but if you can't tell your partner this, that means you're engaging in an act that's not becoming, that's inappropriate.
Exactly. Anything that you can't divulge to your partner, that you're doing, it gives the thought that this is something that you should not be doing.
Okay. So Mr. Curry said, okay, there are many reasons why some men cheat, and it often depends on individual circumstances. But some common factors include emotional or physical dissatisfaction. Some men might feel emotionally or physically unfulfilled in their current relationship and seek validation or connection elsewhere. Lack of
That cuts across two dynamics.
What do you mean?
Two dynamics. That cuts across when you're looking at men having a feeling of being unprioritized in the relationship.
Okay.
And if they feel like they're unprioritized in the relationship, then that leads to feelings of inadequacy, inadequate affection, inadequate attention, and then that snowballs down into other things. And when they get, that goes and it jumps over into the other domain that you looked at, where you mentioned, where they get that attention from someone else. And when you get what we call unnecessary attention, if someone's giving you unnecessary attention, it could stroke and massage the ego.
Right.
And so if you're not getting that at home, so that person is filling that void and also inflating that ego.
Right.
And we gravitate to what is complementary and we shun what is critical. So if we gravitate towards that which is complementary, of course, we're going to engage that person on a more frequent level. And that frequency is going to get us into a situation where we engaging them on a more physical level and a more intimate level at a later time.
And, you know, in one way, I think that women may not prioritize men when we have our children. You know, we have them as a center of attention, our entire world, and sometimes we forget about our mates because of that.
Oh, that's a big part of yeah. That's a big part of the relationship going downhill. And what we have to understand is that, you know, there must be dating time. There must be time to prioritize each other in absentia of the children. So right. Allow the children to get a babysitter, allow someone to take care of the children. And sometimes it's good to even spend a Friday and a Saturday at a local hotel or resort and just
do something. Yeah.
With your partner, your mate, engage them on a level, understand them and speak to them on a deeper level and get that deeper intimacy, because that is what is going to cause your relationship to flourish in ways that you could not imagine.
Now, you know, I beat up on the men, but, you know, today I beat up on the women, too. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though that as women, too, we don't, like, we talk about, oh, this man isn't romantic and all this type of stuff, right? But as women, we're not really romantic either. Like, we waiting for the man to always, you know, be responsible for this romance. But as a woman, and I put this to you, Bahamas, everybody who's listening, when have you planned a special night or did something special for your mate? Because as women, you know, we think, and listen, I know they could kill me for saying it, but I gotta be honest. As a woman, sometimes we feel as though we are simply the prize because we have a you know what. That's it. I mean, that man, you're laughing, Mrs. Smith, but that's what it is. It's like all hail to the queen. Why are you laughing, Mrs. Smith?
Because it comes to mind a phraseology that I heard growing up, that women were born with their good luck.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we feel. We feel as though we don't have to do anything for our men. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't do nothing. Like, all we there and that's enough. Okay. So, yeah, man, woman, Sam, I putting y'all on blast, man. When last y'all treated your guy? When last you said, boy, you look good? When last have you created this romantic atmosphere? And even anyway, let me go on. The second point that Mr. Curry said was lack of communication. Poor communication can lead to misunderstandings or unmet needs, which may push one partner to look outside the relationship for what they feel is missing. I think we kind of talked about that just a teeny little bit.
But what I want to say there too, and we want to stick up in there, is that, listen, sometimes the most dangerous place for a male is around their partner.
What do you mean?
Sometimes that safe zone that they should have with their partner, being able to share their innermost feelings with their partner, is not allowed or is not nurtured.
Right.
And so when they come to the door and they peek in and they try to just give out a little piece of emotion or show a little piece of what they need, give them a little inclination into what it is that I or this relationship requires, that may be shut down instantly and shut down in a caustic way that's going to cause that male to retreat like a turtle into the shell.
Right.
When that happens, then the safe zone is diminished. And so what happens now? Someone else out there provides that safe zone.
They babying that man right up. They listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's that much easier for them to engage and gravitate towards what is safe and what feels good. We gravitate towards what feels good.
Well, you know, this lack of communication, and you know me and you, we go all the way around the mulberry bush and come back around. But this lack of communication, Mrs. Smith, is something I feel is lacking in our country on the whole. Like, people, like, we're not talking. Like, we, you know, I see families out. I remember another family. And, of course, I'm a life coach, so I always got a story, man. That's right. But I ain't giving away who my clients are. That's right. That's confidential. But I remember a family, you know, they're like, they go out every week. And I know we're talking about men and women, but anyway, I got to give this example. They go out every week. Every week they go out to dinner. Right, they balling, man. But the thing about it, they have all these issues. And I'm like, well, how is it that y'all are going out to dinner every week, but y'all don't talk? Like, y'all don't talk about the things that really matter. Y'all don't talk about the things that really bother you. We don't have conversations. And definitely couples are not, like, they're not talking. And even when they're talking, what they say, I talking at you or whatever. I'm not talking with you. I'm not talking to listen. It's not a safe space for people to say, hey, I don't like it when you do this, or when we having sex, this don't turn me on, or hey, I having some problems with this. Like, we don't talk.
Definitely, definitely. And I guess we are too much engaged in trying to create a curated reality, because we oftentimes live for others. And so we want to give this facade of perfectness, and we want others to view us and view our families and our relationships as perfect. All the while, it is far from perfect.
Listen, far from perfect. Let me tell you something. You see, Mrs. Smith, all this got me even earlier when I said that I'm not into this relationship, because, like, I know some happy couples now. I can tell you a word. Like, I know some happy couples, but I know a whole lot of people faking the funk. I mean, miserable. Like, man, y'all, listen, y'all marriage is a big joke. And what is Gammy, right? What is Gammy is just like how you said, they putting on this facade, but boo-boo, everybody know this is a bunch of foolishness. Anyhow.
All right. You're so right. You're so right.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
Because you're the last person to know. The people sitting down and you think they're smiling at you, but they're laughing at you.
Yeah. So, you know, when I'm giving you all challenges today, man, speak with your partner. Talk with your partner. Start small, man. Come on. Although a lady did ask, she said, but every time she says, honey, we need to talk, man, is run. Boy, I know this stuff is true. Like, y'all trying to avoid that conversation at all costs. Anytime a woman say, honey, we need to talk. Well, I know you're
hearing something else. Well, see, that doesn't start from that initial, we need to talk, you know. That starts from, see, men build up, as individuals, build up schemas in their mind about what this means. And so if he has had a poor experience or a negative experience with what precipitates that statement or that question, then he now associates that negativity with that statement and that question every time it is posed. And so when she says that, then that means to him that trouble coming.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Mr. Curry also says, oh, well, we talked about opportunity and temptation. Sometimes people cheat because they're presented with an opportunity, a chance encounter with someone attractive, and they act impulsively, especially if they feel their actions won't be discovered. He said that the fourth one, an ego boost. For some men, cheating may be about boosting their ego or proving their attractiveness, especially if they feel insecure about their self-worth or masculinity. Commitment issues. Some men may have trouble fully committing to a relationship, whether because of past experiences, fear of intimacy, or doubts about the future of the relationship. Lack of emotional connection. If a man doesn't feel emotionally connected to his partner, he might seek out that connection with someone else, thinking it will fill the void. And seven, not seeing it as wrong. Some men may not see cheating as a betrayal if they don't view the relationship as serious, or if they feel it's a way to meet their needs without fully understanding the emotional consequences for their partner. That's a whole lot, Mr. Curry.
That is a whole lot, and all of those have pieces of validity to them. Because every situation, and you know, we cannot nail down one or two reasons. And right. so all of those reasons fit into someone's relationship.
Yes.
In our society. What we can say is that, listen, some of these, they are parallel, and some of these, they interlock.
Right.
Like you were saying about the ego boosting.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked earlier about unnecessary attention, that was ego boosting. That attention yeah. was filling a void. And how that void got there? Because just as you asserted, if the woman isn't providing that attention to the man, if she isn't being attentive to him and his needs, then someone else out there who gives the slightest bit of attention,
mm-hmm.
in his mind, that could be magnified. And then we go back to what Mr. Curry was saying about the reason of them not understanding or cognizing the risks
right.
to their relationship or the hurt to their partner that could cause. Because we are self-satisfying. So we are looking first at our needs, how right. to satisfy our needs, and not so much how this is going to hurt this person if this person finds out. Oftentimes we feel dissonant when the person finds out, because now we feel embarrassed because what? The man is now caught. And so right. if he is caught, he has to deal with a whole host of other issues. Notwithstanding right. the fact that he has these two women here now who already now know. Well, one might have known about the other, but now the person who he is committing the infidelity on,
mm-hmm.
they now know that this was going on. And so now they have 220 questions.
Not
one or two.
Okay. Well, this brings me now to the other question that women wanted to know about. And what they wanted to know was that what are a man's views, the Bahamian man's views on sweethearting? Now, this was very interesting to me, some of the responses. And some of the responses that I heard were, one woman may not be able to fulfill a man's needs. Another one was, it eliminates stress and it cuts down on suicide. Okay, that's right. That's what they say. Say sweethearting cuts down on suicide. My Lord. Then another one said, it cuts down. Now, I found this one interesting. Sweethearting cuts down on STDs. I say, Phil, hold on now. Because clearly it's me who ain't finished grade one. Well, if your sweetheart had is cutting down on STDs, and this has the STD level so high. You see the minister just been on talking about this. What? When I asked him, what did he mean by that? He said that it cuts down because it's still a long-term committed relationship with all of the benefits of a marriage or main relationship. So what he's saying is that I guess the woman is committed to her, to committed being the sweetheart, and that is her only relationship. Or like I remember someone I know used to say, yes, I'm a stay-at-home, they call it a stay-at-home girlfriend. I was like, that's not what it is. that's what it is, right? But hey, that's what they go with, they lose her body. I found that interesting. It eliminates stress, cuts down on suicide, and it cuts down on STDs, Mr. Smith. Hello?
Well, firstly, I'll just say that I was alarmed that the Ministry of Health divulging of the level right. of STDs with that particular STD that they mentioned in the country. And that speaks to a high level of promiscuity.
Exactly. Yes.
And so when we now try to marry that to what that individual was saying about the sweethearting,
cutting down
STDs, I see a disconnect with that, because I don't see. And so even if we were to take, and we cannot think about this in terms of years gone by. Now, years gone by, that may have been the case, but because you had the women who were the side women, they were loyal.
Will you want a woman then be loyal to the married man, though?
What I'm saying is that in yesteryear, you may have found that was more common in yesteryear.
Agreed.
Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we could expect the same level of commitment from a person who knows that you are not fully committed to them.
Right.
And so when that happens, the person is out looking for their future while still holding on to you, because you may be fulfilling some need, whether emotionally, physically, financially, or otherwise, with them. What happens then mm-hmm. is that because you feel that you are committed and this is yours, you are engaging in unprotected sex. And when you engage in unprotected sex with that individual, you know not who they are also engaging.
And yes, with Mrs. Smith. Now, this is a cheat code here, a giving away the little cheat code. But once again, you know what, working with women, what I've also noticed is that when a man or they're scheming and sweethearting, at some point, listen, she doing it too. So while you away, she's engaging too. More than likely, I'm telling you, for the most part, at some point, not initially, but after a while, she engages too. So it's a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. So some of the other responses, they said that when, how do you feel about sweethearting? They said that they also feel as though it's a fad in terms of polygamy. You know, polygamy is like almost like a, you know, the new thing. Also because their views is that, you know, this was handed down to us, like you just said, from our grandfathers and, you know, our great grandfathers. Like, you know, my dad had, or my, not my dad, sorry, but my grandfather had children with my grandmother. Then he had children with, you know, another woman. And then I have, you know, friends who, you know, not even friends, but people who the wife ain't had not one child and the sweetheart had but 10. I mean, listen, it was passed down. Now, what someone did say, several things I found interesting was that someone said that it's something in the male spirit to be a community builder. It's something in the male spirit to leave this legacy. And sometimes they play this out in having, you know, multiple children with multiple women. And then it goes back to what Ian talked about last year. Last week, when he spoke about, you know, way back in Africa, our ancestors, we were into polygamy. They had several wives. So he said that, you know, being in a monogamous relationship is really a Western thing. It was introduced to Black people, but originally this was, you know, this is what it was. So that was something interesting that I found, because he said that, you know, pretty much it's in us. It was in us. Also, someone said that their views on where they don't agree with sweethearting, they have seen that that many relationships are functional because of it.
Well, like I say, you may have, and like I say, that's why there's not one nailed down approach. Mm-hmm. That may have merit in some part of our society. May have merit. So we cannot knock it. All we may say that it's an unhealthy arrangement,
right?
But it may be healthy to some who engage in it, who have it, who it may work for some. Mm-hmm. What works for some may not work for others. But and I've heard persons use the phraseology "wife assistant."
That's
have you heard that? Have you heard
no,
that?
No, wife assistant. Oh, that's a new one. Yeah. And then, you know, what's so amazing, though, Mrs. Smith, you know, okay, women are asking this question, but listen now, for the majority, most women, you've been a side chick or sweetheart or whatever you want to call it many times. Y'all either you step out or you have been that other woman, too. You've been that other woman. I calling y'all out. I mean, definitely. And who these men? I mean, yes, some men with other men. Yeah, okay, that's a story for another day. But for the most part, they with y'all or they with us. So we are also a part of the problem too.
Well, I remember an old lady said one time when she was counseling her, this I don't know if he was family member, but it was a younger gentleman, much older, but younger than her. And she was saying, well, the woman can't be bad by herself. I mean, the man can't be bad by herself.
Yeah.
So if we are saying that the man is bad, then someone has to be going with him to cause this to come to fruition.
And listen here, Mrs. Smith, and don't let that man have plenty money. Don't let that man, listen, let me tell you something. I remember when this was, this must be, so you could talk my own business. I remember, I think this was last year, maybe year before last, I can't remember. And this guy, man, listen, and this dude
I like that one. I can't remember. That's a good one.
Yeah, man, I gotta go with that. Listen, you gotta be quicker than that. This guy, listen, he got plenty of money, man. I mean, listen, he got to be a millionaire. Have to. Easy. Right? Anyway, so we, you know, we out now, we on our little drive. So he say, listen, how much, he say, what it'll take for you being you to get together, man? So I was like, what you mean by that? He said, how much it take, how much you want your allowance to be? Listen, I say, I've been out this game too long, man. I say, really been out this game too long. I said, listen, let me get back to you. So I called my Trapsy friends, right? Because you have Trapsy friends. So once, so I'm telling one, I say, boy, I can't bother with this man because I think he got a couple of women, man. I can't bother with him. So one Trapsy friend says, Sanya, well, what, well, who cares? I mean, this, you know, who care about that? That way he ain't, you don't have to be around him all the time. Then the other one, then Trapsy friend number two say, hold on now. Stanya, let's calculate all your bills and then divide that by four. Because that's 4 weeks. And that is how much you tell him. That's right. You think these people playing on this road, eh? So
boy, look out.
And I can tell you this, they was mad. They thought I was the biggest fool. The biggest fool. But I'm saying this to say, though, especially when a man has money, he get the pick of the litter.
Yeah, but that is oftentimes more attractive to females, and you would find that a man who has means has access to more women.
Because, that's right.
And not because the women are what we call negative women, but it is because everybody has needs. And when you look at society and you look at the cost of living, the cost of doing anything.
Right.
You would see, and you would not be so judgmental when you see or hear of people engaging in risky behaviors. Some people, you know, the Bible say what's needful is lawful. Right. And so I always take it with a grain of salt when I hear someone converse about someone and say, oh, this person bad, or they doing this, or they doing that. But you don't know that person's story.
Well, see, that you going into it, that's a conversation for another day, Mrs. Smith, because many women out here doing things that they really don't want to do, but because they have to provide for their family and for themselves, they out here. So that's a conversation that's a different conversation. I don't even know if us Bahamians be ready to really have that serious conversation, because it's a real thing. It's a real, real thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was interesting that women asked that. Like I said, a lot of women were asking that, but then at the same time, men are scheming with us. They seen our day sweetheart with us. And what I found interesting, though, was that all of the men that I asked this, their views on sweethearting, 71% of the men who responded said that they thought it was wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we want to look at any vice in this country, we as Bahamians think that if we do a poll, we think that it's wrong, but we still want to engage in it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, see, that's another thing. Let's take a quick commercial break. And on the other side of the commercial break, we're going to talk about things that men don't like in women, what feminine traits they actually like, the man's role in the relationship, and how do they feel about 50-50 relationships. We'll be right back. And we are back. And of course, with me, I have Mr. Smith, and we are talking about, or we're answering questions that women wanted to ask men. And let me say too, because you know now, I'm single now. So child, listen, let me try big up my good decent daddy. Hi, father. Hello. Saying hello, a good afternoon to my good decent father, Stan Davis. All right, hello. That look like that's the only man in my life right now. Hello. Well, him and Barry. Barry, the little, you know, my little dog. Hello. That's what I got to hold on to, man. Anyhow, Mrs. Smith, you ready for these other questions?
Run the rhythm.
Okay, here we go. All right. So another question that women really wanted to hear what the response would be from men, and it was like, what is the man's role in a relationship? What is his role? Now I'll tell you some of the responses that I got, and you could give me your take on it if I left out anything. Pretty much I heard a provider, a protector, for protection in terms of a provision, providing resources. Also I heard providing love, comfort, making sure that the house actually runs smoothly. The role of the man is to lead. Actually, this was something interesting that I heard too, that the gentleman said that the roles are so different from a woman, and that men were definitely genetically designed differently. Because, you know, when we talk about, okay, this man being a protector, this man could hear when the leaves outside, and it brushed up against the window or the door, and it sounded like someone may be coming in, but then he could be laying on the side of the baby and not hear that baby cry at all. So his thing was that, you know, yeah, and when he said it, I was like, for true. We also heard, or I heard, that men provide structure, guidance, that they provide love. Actually, I'm going to read the response from that person in particular, because I thought it was very nice. The men also said that their role as a man is to prepare the children for the world without their parents, to develop your family, your wife, and your kids, because they actually represent you. What do you think? Oh, and to love and honor your wife, and allow her, or to create this comfortable space so that she can be feminine. What do you think about that? Did I leave out anything?
Yeah, I think that last part and one or two others sort of sums up all of what it means to be a man, because you're the provider, and the provider, that's the blanket statement of what a man is, a provider. So you are responsible for the provision of support and security. And
right.
In that support and security, you're going to nurture that a female in your life, and you're going to raise your kids to be God-fearing, but not also God-fearing. You're going to raise them to be self-sufficient, so
right.
that, like as you indicated, they can exist comfortably without you.
Yes.
So you want to build them up. So you're building your wife up, you're building your mate up, your significant other, you're building your children up, and you're building them up to be strong, to be secure, and with that support. And support not only comes in financial support comes in emotional support, that
right.
physical support. And when you say, you know, and I like to resort or revert to the Bible say, put her blameless, mm-hmm. present her to yourself blameless.
Right.
When the Bible talks about presenting her to yourself blameless, you have to present her, your female, your wife, your significant other, to you blameless, which means you should not be casting blame on her.
Right, right.
You should be that safe zone for her. You should be the one, the whole world is against, or maybe negative towards her, but you should be that rock that she comes to for safety and security, and to build her up.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, I'm thinking two things. One is that, so it's also important, Mr. Smith, for men to be somewhat emotionally, I don't know if to say emotionally available or emotionally intelligent. I don't know which one I should use. Because, okay, if all this responsibility is for the man to create this space, to do this, and you know, as one person said, to love his wife in spite of, and then, you know, as women, you know, we come in with all kind of drama, you know, and for us too, at least I know for me, well, when I was into fellas, having a relationship, that is, for me personally, you know, I want this safe space where I don't want to be Tell It to Stanya when I get with my mate. I want to just be Stanya. You know, I want to be this man's baby. You know what I mean? So there's a degree of emotional availability that men would need to. And I think sometimes it may be a little lacking sometimes.
Well, definitely emotional intelligence would be the broad term that you would use. When you have emotional intelligence, you will be emotionally available to your partner, because you know that you need to speak to her a certain way.
Right.
You need to answer her a certain way.
Yes.
You need to sow into her words of affirmations.
Right.
You need to be that safe zone.
Yeah.
That safe space that she needs to draw from so that she can recharge for the next day. So she comes home with her battery low.
Yes.
You need to be that charging port that she can plug into. And once she plugs into you, she should come up until she's ready to face the next day even stronger than before.
Now my second thought, and that's something, the first one, of course, like I said, was that I wish that Bahamian men could be a little bit more available. All right, that's one. Emotionally. The second thing, though, is, you know, just speaking with you and going through these questions, honestly, y'all got plenty of responsibility, you know.
Definitely.
And I have to ask you this, too, before I even move on to, and this was one of the questions, like, what do you think one of the hardest things is about being a man?
One of the hardest things about being a man.
Yeah. You want to come back?
Well, that means different things to different people. And I'll tell you this, why I say that. Because over the years, if you look at men, from you reach the age of 18, you're considered an adult.
Right.
But when you look at the age range from 18 to, say, 50, 60, if you ask all of those men that same question, they will have a different answer for you.
But what's your answer, Mr. Smith? What's the hardest thing for you then, being a man? In today's world, in 2025, whatever it is, what's one of the hardest things you think it is or a challenge that men face?
Well, I don't, and to be honest,
that would even be what you see.
To be honest, I don't see anything to be hard in being a man, so to speak, from my vantage point, because I've accepted the responsibility of being a man. I've accepted that the brunt of the relationship, the brunt of the security and all of that of the family is on the male. And so the biggest hurdle for any man to get over is the acceptance of that responsibility. So when you mentally accept that responsibility, it becomes that much easier for you to accept all of the tears that come below that umbrella of being a man.
So, okay, what don't we know as women? Like what don't we get, or what don't we know?
I don't know if we can term it as what you don't know. I think what women don't attune into is that every man is different, and you can't look on TV or look through a looking glass at someone else's relationship and compare your man to that individual, because you know not what those persons are going through. You know not how he is treating that lady behind closed doors. And like I say, we look at these curated realities, and oftentimes we put that unreasonable expectation on the male. As a female, they do that.
Right.
And when they do that, that puts the male into that realm where we say he's like a turtle that retreats into the shell.
Right.
And so I don't think it's that we can say that what they don't know. I think it's that oftentimes what is done from a female standpoint in order to get her needs met, in order to be emotionally sustained, is she sort of points out flaws as opposed to trying to use corrective steps in other ways to get, you know, it's more than one way to skin a cat, they say.
So are you saying then, and see it, right, and I'm saying this See, I help. I'm trying to help you all who are in a relationship, because I don't tell you all I ain't checking for this thing no more. Right. Hello. But okay, here we go. Are you saying then, or that would look more like, instead of saying, boy, I hate when you do this, or you always doing this. And it would look more like, for starters, lowering your voice, changing your tone, and saying, Mrs. Smith, I love when you take me out for dinner, or I feel so safe when you make sure the bills are paid. You see, did you hear my little voice?
Excellent. Yeah,
so it looks more like that.
In that space, you're being feminine in that space.
Okay.
And in that space, you're speaking to the king in that man. Speaking to the king in him.
Right.
And any man who has that king in him and he hears that, attunes his ear to that.
So I did good just now. That was good.
Man, you did good, good girl.
Hi. Okay. All right. Okay, good stuff. Okay, so let's go on to the next question, because I think, and what I loved actually was that most of the men who responded, they all pretty much said the same thing. So Bahamian men are well aware of what their role should be, at least the Bahamian men that I spoke to. And let me say, the youngest person who I spoke with was 27 years old, and the oldest person was in their early 60s, I think 62. So it was a broad span, and it was actually very refreshing to hear that, you know, that men really, they know what must be done. And hopefully that crew doing it, I know. But they definitely are well aware of what their roles are as men. All right. Okay, so now another question that came up with the women, they said that they wanted to know how men felt about this 50-50 relationship. And they trying to understand where the heck this relationship come from, because they sick of it. And they are not into this craziness with the 50-50 relationships. Now, something interesting happened too. When I asked the men, I'll tell you this, 83% of the men said that they, and talking about the 50-50, they meant, the women meant in terms of being the provider. Okay, 83% of the men that I interviewed stated that they felt as though they were the provider. They were not really concerned about the woman's money. And if the woman was, let's say she's making more money than he is, or what have you, and let's say they were buying a house, or they want to buy this house in Florida, and they needed additional funds. This gentleman said, well, you know what, I'll go ahead, make the preparation. If I see we need like $25,000, and I know my wife got that sitting there, he probably would say, hey, hon, listen, we need to put that on this thing if we're going to get it, if we're going to accomplish this. But 83% of the men who I spoke to, they felt as though it was their responsibility. They didn't really believe in 50-50 in terms of providing. They had no problem now in terms of if the woman being the helpmate. And of course, they would want her to, okay, well, hon, you want me to help you? Do you need help? Blah, blah, blah. But they saw their role more as the provider. Then a small percentage of persons who were okay with the 50-50, they said that they saw it as more as teamwork, and they felt as though more could be accomplished. The men also commented saying that their idea, first of all, is that everyone bring 100% into the relationship, and that this 50-50 thing for them is depending on situations, in terms of they are well aware that their wife may be better at something than they are, and vice versa. And it's a discussion and conversation that they would have within their relationship. But they primarily felt as though they into this little 50-50 thing. How you feel, Mrs. Smith?
Well, I think that every relationship has its own set of rules and regulations, and it depends on the two individuals there. Now, right. When you talk, I'll start from the last thing, go back. When you okay. When you talk about 50-50 and the person's talking about bringing 100 and 100, and then you talk about other persons knowing some person in the relationship being more astute with finances than the other, I think it boils down to, like you said, teamwork. Some person mentioned teamwork.
Right.
I think it boils down to teamwork, and to be a power couple, you have to decide and have meetings on how right. you're going to spend the family's finances, because the finance isn't your finance and the finance right. isn't his finance. The finance ours. Is the family's finance.
Right.
And so when you come together and you have an objective, and as an individual who's looking towards progress and right. what they call being a power couple, power couples, the male has his role and right. he has his mandate. But guess what? He could be an alpha male all he wants, but that female who has that, you know, because they say females incubate and make everything better, you know, that female will come there and she say, listen, yes, I know you want to do this and you want to do that, but look here, we need $250,000 to do this.
Yeah.
And guess what? This is how we can get this project accomplished.
Right. And if we do this, the return is we could make that money right back and more.
Exactly. So you have to look at each individual couple on their own merit and see, because one couple may be okay with 50-50. One couple may feel like, man, I's the man. I can pay the bills. You keep your money and you do whatever you want to do with your money. But I taking care of my family and I pay the bills.
I have to ask you this question now. Asking for all the women in the back, but I have noticed, like, sometimes men, y'all, you represent all the men, them now. And when I say y'all, of course, I don't mean you, but you know what I mean. Okay. I've noticed that sometimes men, or some men, may, like, they would prefer this woman who, you know, we talked earlier, I mean, ain't coming with nothing. The woman who's really a helpmate to them, who, you know, because my understanding, a big part of marriage or the original design was this partnership, you know, they would go with this woman who they got to do everything for. Every blasted thing they got to do. But then there's this woman that they would have. I mean, they realize that the woman is a powerhouse. They well aware of that. But they didn't select her, Mrs. Smith. They selected the person who, I guess, maybe, I don't know, who need them. What, they ain't bringing nothing but a bunch of bills. They ain't no help, nothing.
Well, you must understand.
What are we doing on there?
That that's a couple of things, and that's another show all on it in itself.
Mine,
because you tend to look at situations like that, and while we cannot say totally that this is the case, but in some of those instances you would find that strong women intimidate some men, and although you may be strong in will and strong financially and you able to help to take the family to greater heights, they would much rather someone who is not as strong, but yet who won't be as challenging. Because oftentimes you find in those instances, financial superiority gives that person an edge over the other. And so those types of relationships. And like I said, we cannot say that this is the case in all of them, but in some of the instances, you would find that financial superiority gives them that edge over the female. So the female isn't going to question much because she really dependent. She's a dependent, just like the others in the house. She's waiting for him to come and do A, B, C, and D. And so, why anger the king, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase?
She needs him. The independent woman wants him,
but she needs him. You hit the nail right on the head.
But is it better to be needed or wanted? Well, I guess that's different for each individual.
That's different for each individual, but you know, oftentimes it becomes more challenging. Or it puts more responsibility on the male when a woman wants him as opposed to needs him, because now he knows that he has to work that much harder to keep this woman, to be emotionally intelligent with the way he deals with this woman as opposed to the woman who needs him. Because
she's not with anything.
Ah, and then
be cracking the code now.
That opens the door for emotional abuse. That opens the door for financial abuse. It opens the door for all of these things. And so we want to be careful of that.
Very interesting. This is some good stuff. And I think definitely, I think women are going to really appreciate it because I don't think that we also realize that it's not just because of you. It's also because of the person. You know, so this is good. This is good. Okay, good stuff. All right. And let me see what. Oh, okay. We got two more questions. My God, we have like maybe under 10 minutes here. Okay. So now the two questions that I asked the men, one was, which feminine traits do you love? Now, this was very. And then the other one was, what are three things you don't like? Now, I could tell you this right now, Mrs. Smith, this was very interesting because most of the men kind of struggled. They did not really, like I gave them these questions and a lot of them did not answer what they liked in women. And one even shared that it took him a minute to really respond because he never thought about that. And then when I asked the men the things that they liked about women, listen, I talking about a barrage of answers, okay? They was riddling this off. And I thought that was very, very interesting. Are Bahamian men, they don't like women? What's going on? Or we're not likable? It could be, what is this? Or both, because, you know, two things could be true all at once at the same time, I know. But anyhow,
that is perplexing.
It was very interesting. Like they were more forthcoming talk and more comfortable talking about the things that they did not like rather than the things that they actually liked about women. But anyhow,
I would think that it would be the other way around.
No, sir. It wasn't for this. So let me share the findings here. Which one you want? You want to hear the ones that they really... The traits that they liked, or you want to hear the things that they didn't like first? Which one you want?
Well, I think it's more interesting to hear what they said that they liked.
Okay,
and then we can go to what they did not like.
Okay, what they liked about women was caring. These are the traits that they like: caring spirit, support. Women have attention to detail. They're good planners, soothing, peaceful, embracing the divine feminine. They like that they are motherly in terms of they have, not that they want them to be their mother, but really they have, like how you talked about women being incubators, that they are able to, you know, you give them the house, they can make it a home. They can take care of the tribe. They say that they like when a woman also has good emotional intelligence. They like when one guy said he does like when a woman is fit and she maintains her figure or the way that she would have looked when they met. They said also that women, for the most part, they're feminine, sexy, spontaneous, goal-oriented. They love women's resilience, their intellect, their spirituality. They like when women are soft, but tough when they need to be. Not afraid, and they said that they also like when women are not afraid to be silly, and when women look amazing with or without makeup. They also, well, so this is a combination. This was what they like in women, and also, you know, just feminine traits as a whole. And they love when women, when she knows who she is, she's comfortable with who she is, and she also understands and respects a man's peace.
That's a whole lot. That's some good. That's some good.
Yeah, but that was from not everyone responded. I don't know. The talkative said, "Let's see, did respond." I know. okay. So what I found interesting with that was definitely Bahamian men like when we're moving in our feminine energy.
Definitely.
Right.
There's something about a woman who has that feminine energy.
Right.
She can walk into a room and she can just electrify that room with her presence.
And what does feminine energy look like? Because
it doesn't have a really look, it has a feel.
Okay.
That's you may see a woman walking in, but you could feel her energy even before she even says good morning or embraces right. you in conversation.
Right.
Engages you in conversation. You can feel that energy before that, because it's a look, it's a smile, it's everything about her. And then you start to look at how she's ensembled, how she puts herself together, how she dresses her hair, how she puts on her jewelry, what type of shoes she wears. All of this, you pay attention to the detail and how she, if she's manicured or pedicured. All of these things are secondary to that energy that she brings in first.
Okay. And okay. Boy, just see the time. I see Brittany trying to, tell me I got to get out of here. And you know I don't want Dwight. Message me. Hello. I love him, but I don't hear from Dwight today. Thanks. So we got to have to wrap this one up in about less than a minute. But yes, I thought that was very interesting that men, they like women when they're soft, when they're supportive, when they're respectful. And it doesn't take away from being the strong woman, because I think sometimes we get mixed up with being this strong, quote unquote, independent woman or what have you. A strong woman does not have to be a loud woman. Okay. A strong woman does not have to be a woman who is void of emotion, who is disrespectful, who is, devolves in the man. This strong woman is someone, she can get a point across, but she doesn't have to be aggressive and rude with it. They like women who have the ability to make the house, the home, who comes with that energy. So this strong woman, I think we need to take a look at what being strong really means, because I think we mess that up too. We think when we hear strong woman, or maybe we as women have given that a bad look too. So just something we need to work on. We won't get around to going over all the things that the men said that they didn't like, but just putting it in a nutshell, pretty much, it was the loud woman, it was the selfish woman, the materialistic woman. Man, I heard, this masculine energy, complaining, insecure. Someone said they didn't like the Christian types who were overly religious and extremely reserved. They don't like women who use their body to manipulate men. Listen, I could go on and on with the things that I heard, but I think you got the message. So I think we completed it, Mrs. Smith, and I want to thank you for being a part of Tell It to Stanya, and I also want to thank persons who are listening in.
Thank you for having me.
Because listen, now you could have been anywhere in the world. They could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. And with that said, we out of here. Thank you.